it's a call to worship. You guys are ready. You guys are amped. Happy Palm Sunday. Welcome. Yeah, please be seated. And if you ever want to continue to work out, just lift up your palms and keep it going, because it is Palm Sunday all Sunday. I got a couple announcements for us, and then I'll call us to worship, and then we're going to move into praising the Lord through praise songs. You'll notice in your orders of worship, One Great Hour. This is our third week of having One Great Hour of sharing envelopes, and we will pray for it. After the offering, we'll come up here and pray for it and pray over it along with our tithes and offerings. What this is, it goes to those who need it, the least and the lost and the hurting. I think it goes through Presbyterian Disaster Assistance. Is that correct? Right? So I've done a bunch of missions trips through PDA. They're a phenomenal organization, and you can trust them. This does get into the hands of people who need help immediately. That'll happen later in the service. What else do I need to announce? We got Senior Options is coming up this Wednesday. We also have a Good Friday service at 7 p.m. on Friday. If you're coming to that, we share a sports, we share the parking lot with the sports field. And so it'll be pretty crowded. So unless it rains, there might rain on Friday, just a heads up for everybody. But come around and park in this back lot. There'll be plenty of spaces for us back in this back lot, and meet us here at 7 p.m. And then next Sunday, obviously, is Easter. So a Resurrection Sunday, bring anybody, bring everybody, right? And actually, I think we should meet and greet each other. We haven't done that in a minute. Let's stand up and give each other the holy fist bump, and then I'll call us back together to worship.
Praises rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. We see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away.
Worthy of all our praises, Hosanna. raise your palm branches.
Rescue for sinners. above all names, blessed Redeemer,
God is all powerful, and nothing we do can push him away. The majesty and brilliance of his perfection can be overwhelming and intimidating to a heart that is guilty and helpless to save itself. Adam and Eve knew they were wrong, and so they hid themselves from God's perfect righteousness. We also hide ourselves. We build up walls, even imprisoning ourselves, and we harden our hearts. But God is relentlessly seeking us. Come out of hiding. Bring your burdens to the cross and give them to Jesus. Give him your hardened heart and let him make it soft and wash you clean. Let him bear your sin so that we may become his righteousness. Would you pray with me? Father God, today we silently confess to you our personal sins, and we ask in the name of Jesus for forgiveness. God, we thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. We thank you for giving us hope and setting us free. We praise you. Amen. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brothers and sisters, we are forgiven.
Thank you.
Amen. God save. Hosanna, right? We've been singing it and singing it. It's Palm Sunday. I'm really glad that it's Palm Sunday. I hope you are too. We're going to be looking at Zechariah. We're going to be looking at Zechariah chapter 9. And before we do that, I just want to give you a little info about Zechariah. Some people call it a minor prophet. Some people call it a later prophet, a latter prophet. Zechariah wrote during the post-exilic time, the Jewish folk. He was also writing at the same time as Haggai. We find that out in Ezra. It's known as the Little Isaiah because Zechariah, next to Isaiah, talks about the coming Messiah more than any other prophet. His name actually means Yahweh has remembered. One commentator wrote, his name actually summarizes his basic message to post-exilic Judah. The Lord has remembered his covenant with Israel and plans to restore the futures of his people. Also, we find out in the first chapter, in verse 13, that Zechariah has received this prophecy, this vision from the Lord via an angel. I just think that's interesting. When we get to heaven, we're going to say, what was that like? To hear a message from an angel of the Lord. Also, in the immediate context, right before the passage we read, his vision is of a Messiah that's in the form of a Davidic king, a conqueror, much like every other king. The most powerful king wins, right? That's the mindset as we open the chapter of Zechariah 9, but our text this morning pivots. And if you've ever been to church on Palm Sunday, you know that it's a big pivot. Let's get to our text. We'll be reading Zechariah 9, starting in verse 9 and going through verse 13. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt. The foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. I will bend Judah as I bend my bow and fill it with Ephraim. I will rouse your sons, Zion, against your sons, Greece, and make you like a warrior's sword. This is the word of the Lord. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, preach through me. May your words come through me. May my words be quickly forgotten and your words penetrate the hardest of hearts, even my own, and change us forever. And all God's people said, everybody noticed the pivot, right? Big pivot. Earlier in the text, Zechariah is proclaiming this vision of this divine conqueror, making sure that the people that are on top get crushed. And then here comes this mighty Savior. Here comes this mighty rescuer in the form of a man, a lowly man. There's a Jewish poet, Robert Halter. He writes this. This is the surprising switch. Though a victor, the king comes as a lowly man. Notice, he is king. We've been singing Hosanna. And we know on Palm Sunday, remember? Everybody's raised their palms and they're treating him like a king. In fact, many commentators say Palm Sunday is the only day on the earth that Jesus was treated the way he was ought to have been treated, as the king that he was. They're waving their palms. It's a celebration. It's a party. We're about to win this thing. But he's a man. He's fully God. But he's a man. And not only is he a man, what's he riding? He's riding on a donkey. If he was divine conqueror, he would be riding on a horse or coming in as a chariot. It must have been so confounding to Zechariah. You know, like, what am I writing about? What is this vision? There's a reason why they missed the first advent of Jesus the Christ. Because the first advent and the second advent are so mingled together. An advent just meaning arrival. Everybody knows that, right? He's riding on a donkey. The contrast, this is from Zondervan's Illustrated Bible Backgrounds commentary. The contrast offered by the specification of his mount is that this king is not coming in a military context, which would have featured a horse, mule, or chariot, but is coming in peace and humility. In our devotional this morning, for today, we've been going through this devotional, if you're new, and put together us by Nouwen's folk. And he writes this: and though Jesus was a king, he made it clear that he was a humble king. The visual of Jesus riding on a donkey brought that into focus. Jesus was not here to be served like a mighty king on a horse. He was here to serve. Amen? And then the rest of this text, that's the Zechariah 9:9, that's what shows up on Palm Sunday. That's what shows up in the text, the Matthew, Mark, and Luke in the synoptics, that verse. And the rest of this text that we're studying or looking at this morning, it's blurry, which is arrived already and which is coming still with his second advent, right? We see in verse 10, the blurry line, I think it has come. We're living in the kingdom of God here, but not yet. Here, but not fully. So we're living in this in-between time and in this blurry time. And so we have to look at the text and watch where it applies and watch where it calls us to keep praying and watch where it keeps asking us to keep our eyes on the sky for his second return, because he walks into, the author moves into, I will take away the powers of the enemies. We find over and over in Paul's writing, that's us. That's us. That's here. That's in the in-between. If you are in Christ, you no longer belong to yourself, but Christ lives in you. Right? Nothing in this world can scratch at the enormous love that Steve was reminding us of at our confession time. You are victorious. In the words of Mark Lackey, you're victorious, baby. And then he moves the vision to the cross. He starts talking about the blood of the covenant. He's talking about the Old Testament blood of the covenant, where it took the lifeblood of an animal to cover the sins of the human being. But we, as followers of Jesus, know he's talking actually about, what does John the Baptist say when Jesus first walks over the hill? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of what? The world. Then the author says, through the blood, you're going to be set free. You'll be free, like being freed from a waterless pit. Anybody been to the Holy Land? Anybody seen a picture of the Holy Land? It's dry. It's dry. It's really dry. I was overwhelmed. There were so many rocks. I was just blown away by how many rocks there were. It was just dry and rocky. I liken it to, has anybody in here been to Joshua Tree? It feels a lot like Joshua Tree. You ever been thirsty in Joshua Tree? Ever needed a bathroom? That's a different sermon. That's a different sermon. But pulling you out of the waterless pit. PCC, put your poetry hats on. Put your love of language on. Because our prophet is getting these words from these angels, and they're absolutely beautiful. And they're describing not a future, but where we are. In part, but in whole, there will be a second arrival, and we will never thirst again. Right? And then there's a call, and I think that's a call to Israel, and that's a call to us this morning. Return to your fortress. Other translations say stronghold. Remember that song? My stronghold, my Savior. Nobody? Psalm 62, they put it to, I think Vineyard put it to chords. Return to your fortress. You prisoners of hope. How beautiful is that phrase? Prisoners of hope. What hymn does that make you think of? Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. And remember that part, it says, hear thy raise my Ebenezer. I had to do a little homework. At first, I thought Ebenezer was just a beer mug. Here I raise my, you know, because a lot of those hymns come from Germany. But it's actually a stone of remembrance. And then it says, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Everybody know what a fetter is? It's those shackles. It's those shackles. Bind my wandering heart to thee. We've been singing every single time we sing, Come Thou Fount, make me a prisoner of your hope. The days I don't want to do it, drag me. Right? What a powerful prayer. What a powerful call. He says, even now, that day when his second advent, and I think this is where the line unblurs, and he's talking about the kingdom triumphant, the kingdom of glory, the kingdom where Howard, Elsie Hara's brother, is right now. And think of those people that have gone before you that you love. They're in the kingdom triumphant, and they have been restored to twice as much as what they've ever had. And then you can tell he's talking about the future glory, because he, in verse 10, he mentions Ephraim and Jerusalem. And in verse 13, he mentions Judah and Ephraim. And that puts together one commentary. I'll read it so I don't mess it up. After banishing the weapons of war in verse 10, Yahweh forges his people, his united people, into a warrior's sword. Do you hear that? He's united his kingdom. He's united Jerusalem. He's united the Holy Land. There's peace in the Middle East. Notice that in so doing, he's made the people of God into a weapon, but a weapon of peace. Like the king on a donkey. Applications. I think the first... Has anybody seen the news? It's the opposite of peace. Right? There's a lament. There's a lament going back to when Zechariah is writing this prophecy. This ununitable land will be united. And it seems impossible then, and it seems impossible now. What does that call us to? That calls us to pray. I remember my Old Testament professor who studied the Old Testament inside and out, and he says the only thing that's repeated over and over in the imperative in all of the Old Testament, the only thing that's repeated as an imperative for the people of God to pray for is peace in Jerusalem. So that's another Sunday that we've inherited from our brothers and sisters from the Jewish faith. We're getting called to pray for peace. Pray for it seriously. Pray for it like it sets the stage for the king to come back seriously. Another application. I'll go to our now and devotional for this one. Adoration and indignation will both meet Jesus this week. But he comes for both. He comes for both the adoring and the indignant equally. He comes for us. He comes to us. My second application is stop the train and allow Jesus to meet you this week. As we are here on this Palm Sunday, I'd like to invite you to think of it as Donkey Sunday. Because the Sunday's still there. The resurrection, the empty cross is still there. This week is the starting line. Next Sunday is the finish line in a lot of ways. And we still celebrate that this whole week. It's still Sunday. It's still Resurrection Day. You know, we've been, if anybody's been practicing Lent, what day of the week do you not have to follow the rules of whatever you're giving up or adding on? Sunday. Why? Because no matter what, Sunday is the Lord's day. He rose from the dead on the third day and changed history forever. Sunday always will belong to the Lord. It will always be Resurrection Sunday. But donkey, hold that image in your mind all week. Of not this conqueror sweeping the land and taking everything that he sees for his own, but instead a king, a humble king, riding on a donkey. Why? For you. To meet you. Let's stand and worship the Lord and sing together Hosanna, which means God save us. And as we continue in worship, I'd like to remind you that there's envelopes in here. And if you want to write, I found this out for you, Lloyd, last week. You write a check to PCC and put it in this envelope, and then it'll go to PDF through One Great Hour of Sharing. And as we continue in worship, this is the moment where we get to join in our journeys financially with our tithes, gifts, and our offerings. This morning's tithes, offerings, and gifts are now received. Thank you, Edson. Would you please put your hands out in this direction? I'm going to pray for the tithes, offerings, and gifts, and also for the one great hour of sharing. God, I just pray that you would anoint these funds. I pray that you would take the resources, multiply them, and multiply them in your kingdom fashion through people and people's love for people. And as these funds reach disasters, hurting lands, hurting people, I pray that they would be received and all glory, honor, and praise would be given to you. May we be straws through which your love, mercy, and justice flow. May it be so. And all God's people said, Dusty, you're on this prayer list, and I'm praising God. Thank you for showing up today and playing some drums. At the top of this prayer list, yes, praise God for working and being our healer in the here and now as well as in the future days. Also, Taylor Patterson, she was admitted on Wednesday, and then she's back home now. But we're praying for her to continue to be restored to full health. Bev, you're feeling pretty good? You got a smile on. That's a good day. Just wanted to check in and... Okay, Mary?
My doctor got down on my pill.
Nice. She's just so everybody's not nervous. She has MS. Like, she's not... Anyway. Actually... Do you get any other praise reports? There's no rules, right? Yeah. Wow. Terry, we've been praying for that, right? That's a good day. There's also some people in the congregation. We got Chuck, who just turned 95 yesterday. We got Sam in the choir. Hold on. And then we got Dr. Dian Chung Hu. His birthday was yesterday. A lot of people's birthday yesterday. And everybody just say happy birthday on three. One, two, three.
Happy birthday!
Nope. I say. We don't have, yeah. I want to get everybody to their, you know, Palm Sunday brunches still. But a lot of joy. But that's like, this is a family, right? You got births, and you got new life, and then we have hurting. And
I might say I'm 18 with 77 years of experience.
He's 18 with 77 years of experience. That's funny. That's really funny. Sorry to throw you into the bus, Chuck. You're awesome. But we got some pains, and I'm going to start off with a little bit of quiet time, and just, I'll use that time either for praying for healing amongst friends, family. Also, don't be afraid to pray for yourself that Jesus might meet you this week in a new way. But let's pray, and after a few moments of silence, I'll lift up the prayers of the congregation. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, lift up Dom. I pray that you give him wisdom And he's making some big decisions for his family and with his family. I continue to lift up Buzz and continue to say I'm confounded by Keith. And we don't need to know the details of why. But I pray that you would heal and move in Keith's life. We lift up Edson's niece, which is actually more of a daughter to Edson. I pray that you would walk her through her valley of battling cancer. Give her strength on those days when she's weary. Continue to heal Bev and Ruth. Be with Joel. He was admitted on Wednesday. He had surgery on Friday. I pray that you would, and it went well, and we praise you for that. We pray that you would, in the words of his mom, protect him. Keep him strong. Keep him healthy. We thank you for Jerry's return home after a month. I pray that you would be her rest and her healer, O great physician. We continue to pray for Terry. We praise you for her procedure going well. Pray that you would help her and her doctors and her nurses manage her pain. I pray that you would keep her on a restoration course so that she might return home Wednesday. We praise you for Mary and cutting back on her meds. I pray that you would continue to walk her through her battle along with walking with Dusty. We lift up Clark as he sings in the choir and is just an anchor, more of a rudder than an anchor, but I pray that you would walk with him. Make your presence known to him. We lift up Sandy. We praise you for her around here, for not only for all the jobs she does, but just for her. I pray that you would continue to heal and restore her. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of our country. We pray for the homeless in our home city. I pray that you would be the God that you are and lead us. Lead us in the way of peace and love. We pray all these things and we pray the prayer you taught us through your Son, Jesus the Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please stand with me? And notice the title of this, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna. I think there's a clue to how Cornell wants us to play this. Thanks for coming out this morning. Thank you for worshiping here at PCC. Jeff, thank you for, during that song, there was that line, our large palm branch. And I saw Jeff with his little dinky palm branch, and I was like, that's like a metaphor for PCC, right? We're kind of a little dinky church, but we're powerful, right? That's what we heard this morning. That's what the message of Zechariah, actually the Lord through an angel to Zechariah, tells you today. And I'm going to leave you with this benediction. May God's face shine upon you. May the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit guard and keep you. And may the peace of Christ, the peace that passes every bit of understanding, guard your hearts and your minds today, tomorrow, forevermore. Let it be so. Amen.